A whopping 8% of Americans struggle with PTSD. If you're watching this, I suspect you're one of them or know someone who is. Those numbers are likely similar in other countries, especially but not limited to the entire Western world. Now, doesn't it make you wonder, how has this happened? What's gone wrong? So many of us have so deeply lost ourselves, where we now struggle with the intense mental and emotional signs of PTSD, which may include racing thoughts, insomnia, nightmares, guilt, physical pain, angst, terror, feelings of being alone in the world, and on and on. Everyone who struggles with PTSD has their own unique signs of illness, and all of this is due to traumatic experiences that we just don't seem to know how to handle. At this time, perhaps you're on medication, prescription, or maybe cannabis to help you feel better. Or maybe you've taken up meditation or doing sports or deep breathing exercises and more, all which are well proven to help you feel much better. I suspect, though, you still want, crave a more permanent solution, getting rid of this disorder completely instead of resorting to things that only help you turn down the PTSD volume for the day. You probably worry you'll have to take drugs or work like a dog to only manage this problem your whole life. Now, MDMA, the street drug called Molly, better known as ecstasy, has been approved in a therapeutic setting to help you with PTSD. And it's been proven to work, resolving PTSD at the root from the bottom up. But not everybody's willing to take a strong and otherwise illegal hallucinogen to deal with PTSD. So here's where I come in. Welcome to my webinar, Addressing and Resolving the Root Cause of PTSD. This is a never-seen-before approach that isn't more top-down volume control. It actually will flip the switch for you permanently. And it's not hard to do, certainly not as hard to do as fight a war with yourself for decades. Nor does it take a lot of your time, about 10 minutes a day for 1 month. My name is Kristen Ulmer. I'm a thought leader on fear and anxiety. How I came to be this is through 30 plus years of practical, real-world experience leading me to where I have a unique, direct, and personal view into the heart of PTSD. In this webinar, I will tell you exactly what causes PTSD and what to do to break permanently free from this problem without having to resort to MDMA. My expertise started when I became a professional athlete. For 12 years in a row, I was recognized as being the best woman big mountain extreme skier in the world. I was also voted by the outdoor industry to be the most extreme woman athlete in North America, beating women in all extreme sports disciplines, not just skiing. I was also called fearless by the media nearly every day for those 12 years, a hype that I also believed. I truly felt like I was fearless. Little did I realize, though, that was not true. Quite the opposite, in fact. But this belief did start a 30-plus year conversation with my own fear and other emotions that continues today, leading me to be able to discuss PTSD with you from the inside out rather than the outside in. So I did not learn any of this as theory in some college. Let me continue my story. Back then, you see, I was risking my life, facing mortal consequences on a daily basis, jumping off cliffs and skiing you fall, you die descents for years on end, being this fearless warrior. But after my 12-year reign, during which I'd seen two friends die in the mountains, saw over three dozen other friends become crippled, and had over 50 near-death experiences, I had, you guessed it, PTSD. So I quit my athletic career, which I didn't have to do. I'd gotten to the point where all I had to do was show up at the parties and drink a can of Red Bull and I'd get paid. But I couldn't take it anymore. I needed to figure out what had gone wrong. This led me to study intently with a Zen master, where very quickly I realized what had gone wrong was I wasn't fearless after all. I'd actually been ignoring my fear in order to ski the way I wanted. Turns out I was just really good at, you know the language, overcoming fear, conquering fear. I had all the tricks that were taught to do down. Visualization, thinking positive thoughts, breathing techniques. Turns out these very efforts, which worked great to lessen fear and other emotions, were oddly setting me up to have PTSD. How it works is this. When you have strong emotions, in my case, intense fear while risking my life, and intense sadness, anger, and more when witnessing or experiencing those traumas, if you seek to control or get rid of them, or let them go, to use a popular term, they don't actually go away. Instead, they get repressed, pushed down into your body and stored there, where they start to back up and fester. To continue to heal then, and make friends instead with these repressed, undealt with emotions, I studied Zen intently for another 15 years. I became a mindset sports coach. And what I started noticing was, if an athlete was underperforming, the repression of emotions had everything to do with it. I then started working with folks struggling with anxiety disorders, depression, panic attacks, indecisiveness, procrastination, and yes, also PTSD. And as I started to help more and more people make friends with their repressed emotions and take these emotions out of what I call the basement, well, these people started to feel so much better very quickly. What I have now learned then over these last 30 plus years is we all have our own version of not dealing with fear and other emotions. I ignored it. Maybe you avoid it or control it, fight it, or use your intellect to rationalize it away. All of these things are what we do to not deal with fear or any other uncomfortable emotion. And that is quite simply the single worst thing you can do that negatively affects your mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. So I wrote a book titled The Art of Fear, Why Conquering Fear Won't Work and What to Do Instead, which outlined that all we're taught to do about fear and other challenging emotions isn't helping us, it's hurting us. We've become a nation, heck, a world of people who are not dealing with our emotions in an honest way. In fact, we're even at this point, certainly when it comes to PTSD, at war with these emotions and thus at war with ourselves. But now that's hopefully about to change for you. If you want to be done with just managing your symptoms and address your PTSD at the root, how you do that is through a five-step journey. Step one, you have to start by understanding in no uncertain terms exactly what causes PTSD. Knowing the cause is so important because if you're in prison and you don't even know what kind of prison it is that you're in or how it's built, being that blind, you can never have a chance of getting out. Let me then open your eyes. The prison is this. When you're young and emotions like fear, anger, or sadness or other uncomfortable feelings first show up, we're taught by well-meaning parents, teachers, and other influencers to control those emotions. Emotional intelligence is actually seen and is written about as our ability to intellectually understand and control our emotions. Thus, the first time you say, "I feel afraid," it's often met with, "Oh, honey, there's nothing to be afraid of." The first time you feel sad may be met with, "Turn that frown upside down," or maybe you cry and you're called a sissy on the playground. I call this emotion shaming. Emotion shaming is any message that says it's not okay to be sad or that there's something wrong with you if you feel fear. The first time you're angry too can be met with a sharp get yourself under control. So you get busy using your intellect to try and rationalize your emotions away and you get busy trying to control them, all which sets you up for a future that includes PTSD. For maybe you've heard the term, whatever you try to control winds up controlling you. So what happens then, later in life, all this gets reinforced more and more. For example, in the military, the image in basic training of the drill sergeant yelling into the face of the soldier while they remain stoic, it's hard to miss. That certainly seems to support repression. In society, at funerals, somber is fine, but if you cry, you apologize and feel like you're not handling it very well. So then, when something traumatic happens, which in life it will, and you go through a super intense emotional experience that results in, yes, intense fear, but probably also intense anger, sadness, and/or guilt, shame, frustration, and so many other terrible feelings, well, of course, you just don't know how to deal with them properly. So, like you've been taught, down into the basement they go. Now, why that's a problem is this. Imagine you've had a whining child who was trying to get your attention, and that child's name is fear, or sadness, or anger, and you put duct tape over their mouths and lock them in the basement, otherwise known as the body. What happens next? Well, they're going to start to fester, get agitated, and act out. Then over time, in order to keep ignoring them, because they're jumping up and down now trying to get your attention, you have to work like a dog, harder and harder to continue to not deal with them until it becomes a full-time job, meditating, tapping, exercising, staying really busy, and more to distract yourself from dealing with them using any means possible. Run though, but you can't hide. The second your guard is dropped, maybe in the middle of the night, that's when they get really clever and show up in your dreams screaming and yelling, or wake you up in the form of monkey mind. They may during the day recirculate as either exaggerated versions of themselves or redirected as something else entirely, showing up for you in distinct ways unique only to you. Due to this compromised undercurrent, which affects your mood on the surface. Maybe you become crazy angry or pickled in irrational fear. Maybe you feel dead inside. Others become depressed, or you're now racked with guilt or remorse. For me, I became an insanely light sleeper. But no matter how it shows up, the core of the problem is always the same. You have been repressing emotions, namely fear, anger, and sadness, and negativity in general, which is what I used to do also. Here's an equation then that sums all this up and shows clearly what the problem is in the most simple of ways. It also sets us up for the solution. PTSD equals intense emotional discomfort that comes from a traumatic experience times resistance. Let's use this equation to explore why, when we go through traumatic experiences, some of us develop PTSD and others don't. Let's say a man gets robbed at gunpoint. It's an experience that results in incredible emotional turmoil. Let's say it was a particularly horrific experience, a level 10 out of 10. If he also resists the emotions associated with the experience to a level 10, well, what's 10 times 10? It's 100, and that's a whole lot of suffering. And if he continues to resist the emotions day after day, year after year, whatever you resist persists, okay? He stays at a suffering level of 100 for years or even decades. But instead, let's say his resistance to feeling his emotions was a level 1, and that he was willing to feel instead of repress his unpleasant emotions. What's 10 times 1? Can you see his suffering is much less? If his resistance is even a level 0, in fact, 10 times 0 is 0, and there's no suffering. In this case, not only does he not have PTSD, but he may cite the mugging as one of the more alive moments of his life. Okay, so now you know what the problem is. And sounds simple, right? Resistance. Emotions locked in the basement. Got it. But it sure doesn't feel that way. It probably feels complicated as hell. And it is. For when you try to ignore or fight these negative feelings, well, you inadvertently give them magical powers. Because your whole life can now become about not dealing with your emotions, about running from them. You may even become 100% convinced you have no fear like I did, where you maintain such a tight hold on yourself that not only does fear never get out, but your humanness can't come out either, and no one is allowed in. Which leads us to step 2. Here's where you identify if you're willing to do anything about all that I just outlined. Look, there's a payoff for resisting your emotions and for keeping them locked in the basement. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. Some of the payoffs include, like me, maybe you get to feel fearless, stoic, manly. Or dealing with your emotions sounds like a lot of work, or even impossible at this point. And you found a system that works to turn down the volume of that craziness, and it's good enough. There's also the payoff for keeping your PTSD around. For example, if you watched a friend die, the recirculating emotions and trauma may keep you deeply connected to that friend. Or maybe you were attacked or abused, and the story of what happened may be the centerpiece for your life. You wouldn't even know who you were without it. That story could also be a major source of aliveness or excitement for you, or how you get attention. Or having PTSD may be the excuse you have for not working or not having to be vulnerable in your marriage, or a million other payoffs. This may be hard to fathom, but there's always a payoff that comes from PTSD, or any other problem for that matter. So here's where, in step 2, you identify your payoffs, assessing whether the cost of having PTSD is greater than the payoff. And that determines whether it's time for you to do anything about it or not. Step 2, then, is basically a conscious choice, yes or no, assessing whether it's time to get to work to turn this around for good or just keep on keeping on. As you decide, let me remind you, I've come up with a 1-month program, a few minutes a day, and that's all it takes to turn this around. So decide now, and if it's a yes, keep watching. Okay, if it's a yes, on to step 3. The first thing you need to do to turn this around is change your language to reflect what you now know. In my Finally Free from PTSD course, which I'll tell you more about soon, I offer a ton of reframes you can make in your language, all which dramatically changes your perspective. Here are 2 of them. If you have PTSD, which if you're watching this, certainly you do, get this at your core. You're not broken in need of being fixed. You're broken is the message behind the enormous get fear and other negativity under control booming market. And I don't subscribe to that. For me, the fact you have PTSD means only this: you're human, just like I was being 100% human during and after my ski career. Being human means, in the context of the first part of our PTSD equation, we will all go through difficult emotional experiences, no exceptions, especially if you're going to live a meaningful life, which involves risks of putting yourself out there in career, relationships, sports, hobbies, and life in general. Some are truly horrible. Some are only slightly less horrible, but life's like that. You will come in contact with horrible people, have devastating experiences, all of which will cause super intense negative emotional reactions. And there is no escaping this. The first number in the equation, then, is actually not controllable or changeable, not even if you become a recluse. Your emotions will simply move in with you. However, the second part of the equation does have wiggle room. Yes, we all have a long history of avoiding discomfort, mostly because we're taught this. But it's that combination that is the problem, not you. The first language changer, then, is this: having PTSD is not a sign of personal weakness or a sign that there's something wrong with you. You're just in a bad, learned habit of repressing emotions, and that's all. The second reframe is, in order to really drive this home, let's temporarily rename PTSD. Now, I'm not a doctor, so this is not in any way a medical term I'm trying to introduce. This is an interpretation meant to be useful only right now, in that it dramatically changes your perspective. For the rest of our time together, then, instead of referring to this webinar as addressing post-traumatic stress disorder, because the stress comes 100% from the avoidance or resistance, let's temporarily rename it PTRD, post-traumatic resistance disorder. So, you're in a bad habit, and as a result, you have post-traumatic resistance disorder. Got it? These and other reframes go a long way towards helping you acknowledge exactly what kind of prison you've been in, which will help you finally get out. Okay, the next step is 4, the ABCs of learning how to feel your emotions. At this time, it may seem insurmountable that you can ever get in touch with your emotions. Your resistance may feel just too ingrained. So the first thing I do in my course on PTSD is start with an easeful, fun week addressing this. It's a 7-day, few minutes a day adventure, but part of the process is this. Did you know that one of the primary ways in which you resist your emotions is thinking or talking about them instead of feeling them? There's other ways, of course, but let's focus on this one right now. With so much emphasis on emotional intelligence being your ability to understand your emotions, you're likely in the habit then of dealing with your emotions intellectually. You get to work using your cognitive intellect to solve your emotional problem, usually through talk therapy. But trying to understand why your emotions act the way they act becomes like this giant, complicated jigsaw puzzle with pieces scattered all over, appearing and disappearing, and you have no idea what the puzzle is even supposed to look like when completed. You may also try to understand the past trauma that started your PTRD, trying to relive or dissect every detail, which can be cruel and unnecessary, and you can also get lost in that process forever. Instead, here's how you deal with your emotions properly. I want you to learn how to deal with them emotionally, which is accomplished through learning only how to feel them. Now, you can't feel emotions in the past. The only thing you can do is feel emotions as they exist in your body today. So, it's not as painful a process as you imagine, nor will it take forever or be a relentless process hashing over any past emotional details. Instead, it's about turning your attention to your body, where feelings are located, and like learning how to feel the grass on your feet or the sun on your face, it then morphs into an internal curiosity that is quite lovely. If you decide to invest in my course, you'll learn exactly how to do this, and it's quite simply will be the highlight of your month. On to step 5, which is my 4-step art of fear method. Here's where it gets really powerful. I've spent 30-plus years developing this method by experimenting with exactly what works and what doesn't. Once you go through the ABCs of feeling your emotions in your body, these 4 steps are the next easy, remarkable tool that gets you out of your head and into your body all the way, so you can finally feel whatever it is that you're feeling in an honest and easeful way. It takes 10 minutes a day, and the 4 steps in brief are this. 1, acknowledging that it's normal and natural to feel discomfort. 2, locate the uncomfortable feelings in your body. What you feel, where you feel it, and how strong is it? 3, locate the resistance in your body. What is your style of resistance today, and how strong is it? And 4, the best part. You then feel whatever is trying to get your attention the most, either your resistance or your discomfort, for a few minutes, without trying to change or get rid of it in any way. Why the method works is this. When you go through a terrible emotional experience, fear, anger, sadness, and more are supposed to flow into, through, and out of your body like water through a hose. They're the perfect design to inspire action. Fear will make you flee, anger will make you fight, and sadness will break open your heart to compassion for yourself and others. Later, shame and guilt might show up to make you contemplate what happened, in order to learn from it, in order to create a better future. But with your resistance to those feelings, you, alas, kink your hose, and those undealt with feelings are now recirculating round and round. You're no longer in flow with that natural emotional experience that comes not only during trauma, but afterwards. But if you learn how to do these 4 steps to feel your feelings without trying to change or get rid of them, remember our basement? Imagine a child locked in the basement who has been jumping up and down, trying to get your attention for years or even decades. Once you turn towards that child in a caring way and give that child your undivided attention in a matter of minutes, well, they calm right down. Keep it up beyond the first day too, and eventually you 100% will heal that relationship, which will heal your PTRD. All without having to resort to psychedelics, which also seeks to broker a similar unfiltered conversation. You will also have learned the skills to always be in flow with your emotions, so with any future trauma, you can move into, through, and out of the experience seamlessly. Now, this webinar only briefly outlines what you'll experience in detail in the course, and it's one size fits all. But if you want to go all the way and explore your own unique situation in the privacy of your own home, including addressing all the payoffs you get from PTRD, a complete list of language changers, and so much more in order to fully resolve this once and for all, consider investing in my course. It's fun, non-threatening, and includes over 30 fascinating videos and insightful worksheets, all geared to help you dissect and completely resolve your own unique version of PTRD, leading to a practice that only takes 10 minutes a day for a month. Now, as you can see, it does require effort. Your PTRD is not just going to resolve itself. You do have to be proactive. But it's a lot less amount of effort compared to fighting a daily, ongoing, and unwinnable battle with these emotions your whole life, just to feel a bit better or get by for another day. So if what you're currently doing isn't working, let's get you taking more appropriate action that isn't inadvertently exacerbating the underlying problem, and also works as a permanent solution. And let's also save you money. This course will get you off the treadmill of spending thousands of dollars and years of your life in therapy, trying to piece together that constantly changing, elusive, and unsolvable puzzle. It's also a lot less expensive than working with me privately, which costs over $6,000 for the same experience. After the course, you'll also be infinitely more productive and thus successful at work and pay yourself back in no time. The bonus is also you'll learn exactly what to teach your kids about how to deal with their emotions in a healthy way, so they too won't be prone to PTRD later in life. So what do you say? Are you up for this remarkable adventure? It will help you sleep better, be less in your head, feel more calm, dramatically lessen your physical pain, find your true self buried beneath all this, find intimacy with yourself and others, dramatically improve your relationships, find the power and motivation to make your career and life into what you want it to be, and more. Plus, it will help you share your story and have it be okay. And I didn't even mention this, but with this course, then comes PTO, post-traumatic opportunity, where you can actually start to tap into the energy of those emotions flowing through you now like water through a hose, and turn your trauma into an opportunity to learn something important about yourself, about life, and maybe even use what you've been through to now do good in the world. All this is possible, and it will work to permanently resolve your PTRD. In conclusion, thank you. I so hope you take this leap with me. You'll be so glad you did. And I look forward to us together navigating this often challenging yet amazing experience called life.